Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 81, Text 41. Etat Brahmanya Devasya Shrutva Brahmanyatam Naraha Labdha Bhavo Bhagavati Karma Bandhat Vimuchyate Etat Brahmanya Etad Brahmanya Devasya Shrutva Brahmanyatam Naraha Labdha Bhavo Bhagavati Karma Bandhat Vimuchyate Etad Brahmanya Devasya Shrutva Brahmanyatam Naraha Labdha Bhavo Bhagavati Karma Bandhat Vimuchyate Etad Brahmanya Devasya Etad Brahmanya Devasya Shrutva Brahmanyatam Naraha Labdha Bhavo Bhagavati Karma Bandhat Vimuchyate Etad Brahmanya Devasya Labdha Bhavo Bhagavati Karma Bandhat Vimuchyate Ladies Etad Brahmanya Devasya Shrutva Brahmanyatam Naraha Labdha Bhavo Bhagavati Karma Bandhat Vimuchyate Etad Brahmanya Devasya Shrutva Brahmanyatam Naraha Labdha Bhavo Bhagavati Karma Bandhat Vimuchyate Etad This Brahmanya Devasya of the Supreme Lord who especially favors the Brahmanas. Shrutva, hearing, Brahmanyatam, of the kindness toward Brahmanas. Naraha, a man. Labdha, obtaining. Bhavaha, love. Bhagavati, for the Lord. Karma of material work. Bandhat from the bondage. Vimuchyate becomes freed. The Lord always shows Brahmanas special favor. Anyone who hears this account of the Supreme Lord's kindness to Brahmanas will come to develop love for the Lord and thus become freed from the bondage of material work. Purport. In the introduction to the chapter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that describes this pastime, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, comments, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of all living entities, knows everyone's heart very well. He is especially inclined to the Brahmana devotees. Lord Krishna is also called Brahmanyadeva, which means that he is worshipped by the Brahmanas. Therefore, it is understood that a devotee who is fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead has already acquired the position of a Brahmana. Without becoming a Brahmana, one cannot approach the Supreme Brahma, Lord Krishna. Krishna is especially concerned with vanquishing the distress of his devotees, and he is the only shelter of pure devotees. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadati Shapadantikam Bande Hang Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitams Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhandamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Vidhitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Etad Brahmanya Devasya, Shudva Brahmanyatam Naraha, Labdha Bhavo Bhagavati, Karma Bandhat Vimuchite. This concludes the description of the pastime concerning Lord Krishna and Sudama Brahmana. In which we find how kind the Lord is to such a Brahman as Sudama, how he replaced his poverty with fabulous wealth, and finally brought him back home, back to Godhead. Lord Krishna is known as Brahmanyadeva, Namo Brahmanyadevaya Go Brahmanhitaya Cha. He's especially the well-wisher of the Brahmanas. Now, one may say that this is actually vicious. that your this book is simply reinforcing the most pernicious scourge that ever afflicted Indian society, that it simply perpetuates the unjust abuses by which a small group of people monopolize privilege for themselves at the expense of others whom they keep down and subjugated. And this is the book that you're worshiping, and this is the God that you're worshiping. We want no part of this. Simply by being a Brahmin, one becomes favored by God. What is this rubbish? Someone asked a question the other day about Dr. Ambedkar. So he essentially represents that view, that we want none of this nasty so-called religion by which some people are kept up and some people are pushed down. So what about it? Brahmanyadev, Krishna is so kind to the Brahmins. And Jagadhitaya, he's also kind to everybody else, but especially these people, the Brahmins. The first thing we should observe is that in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam. I created this system of four divisions of society. He doesn't say anything about all the subdivisions and sub-subdivisions, but I created these four. And therefore it's everywhere in the world. Maybe formalized in India, but it's everywhere. That there will be four sections: the intellectual section, the administrative and martial section, the business people and farmers, and the ordinary workers. He says, it's everywhere, because I created it. But how did I create it? Guna karma vipagasha. I created it according to divisions of action and qualification. Guna karma. Guna means one's qualities, and karma means the work that one does. There's no mention of janma. That someone's born a Brahmin, someone's born a Kshatriya. Guna karma. And later in the Bhagavad Gita, the qualities are described for each of the four sections. For the Brahmanas, sama dama tapa shocham kshantir arjava mevacha gyanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma shabhava. Control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity, cleanliness, straightforwardness, knowledge, and the ability to apply knowledge, realize knowledge, and firm faith in the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These are the brahminical qualities. Then for the kshatriyas, sauryam, like surya, power. Sauryam, teja, teja again, power. Sauryam, teja, dhriti, determination. Daksham, expertise. Yudhe chapya palayanam, courage. He'll never back down from, back away from a fight. Danam, generosity. Ishra Bhava, a take charge mentality. Kshatram Karmasa Bhava. These are the qualities of the Kshatriyas. The Brahmins are not itching for a fight. They're not full of martial spirit or a take charge mentality. They'd rather go off to the forest and meditate or do bhajan. But the Kshatriyas want to take charge. Who was that in Pakistan when they had that coup? What was the fellow's name? Musharraf, right. He had a bloodless coup. He took over the government. Someone interviewed him, the press reporter. When are you going to hold elections? And you know, various political questions. And then at the end, he asked a personal question. He said, are you happy with what you're doing? Are you satisfied with what you've achieved? And he answered, to tell you the truth, I rather like being in charge. That's how a Kshatriya thinks. He wants to be in charge. The Pandavas, give us 5 villages, but let us be in charge. Then Krishigo Raksha Vanijam, Vaishakarma Sabhavajam. Farming, protection of cows, trade. This is the business of the Vaishyas. And Paricharyatmaka Karma Sudrasyapi Sabhavajam. And to assist others is the qualification of the Shudras. So these 4 general groups are there with their qualities and the work that they do, the duties assigned to them accordingly. In Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, practically everyone is born Shudra because no one follows the standard methods for purification. Children are just begotten like cats and dogs. The samskaras are no longer observed. And therefore we see practically that it doesn't matter whether one is born in a high family, low family, everyone is Shudra in Kali Yuga. Samskarad Pave Dvija. One becomes, one might even say that in every age one is born a Shudra. One is only a Brahmin by the reformatory principles. Janmana Jayate Shudra. Samskarad Bhavetvija. But certainly in Kali Yuga, everyone is Shudra by birth and stays Shudra because then there's no Samskarad Bhavetvija. There's no program to promote him to a higher platform. He's encouraged that you're a cat or a dog. You should be the best cat, the best dog, top dog. The modern educational system is meant for that. Dog means, without a master, he can't be happy. In India especially, we see these kind of dogs. They're just on the street, and no one likes them. And they're the object of contempt and stone throwing and so on. Very unhappy business. No one would like to take birth as a dog in India. Uh, But the dog is also has some good qualities, and especially when the dog is domesticated, it becomes a very good servant. Therefore, in the West, they like to keep dogs. When someone intrudes on your property, the dog will bark. The dog can be trained to go fetch your newspaper in the morning, and various other things that you might want a dog to do, the dog will obediently do. Because you're feeding him, and you're giving him a place to stay, so he doesn't mind a little bit of work going to get the newspaper and whatever else. So as long as he has a master, the dog is happy. And Shudra is similar. He has to have a master or he's lost. He has to have a master. Otherwise, he doesn't know what to do. He's in misery. So the Kali Yuga education trains one to become a dog. That you fight your way through the system up to through all the competitive exams, and then you emerge with your diploma, and then you take your diploma between your teeth and you scratch on different doors. Here's my qualification. Please take me. I'll work for you and I'll be good. Here's the list of all the people I've worked for before. And they all loved me. And here are all my good credentials. I'm a very good dog. Yes. Brahman means he won't work for anyone. Won't even take a salary. He teaches, and people give charity, however much or however little, but he's not on the payroll. He may be highly esteemed. Chanakya Pandit was practically the prime minister of Chandragupta Maurya. But he was living in a hut. He wasn't living in a palace or some high-grade accommodation. He was a Brahmin, so he was living in a hut. And the state was getting the best advice. The king was getting the best advice free. Not, I'm a highly paid consultant. I've worked for this one, and my fees are right. It's my duty. I give knowledge. I'll give advice. And when the king questioned his advice, rejected his advice, fine, I go. He left. And the king was in. He lost it. Not that you're feeding me, so I stay no matter what. He was completely independent. You may give me something, you may not give me something. I do what I do as a matter of duty, not as a matter of profit. Brahman's duty is to give vision. Like the head. The head is, from one point of view, what does it do? Just sits there on top of the neck and sees things and spends all this time thinking. Doesn't do any hard work, doesn't pick up anything, doesn't go anywhere like the legs. But it's the most important part of your body. If someone attacks you, you protect your head. That's where vision is. That's where thought is. That's where we take our direction from. The arms without the head are useless. Everything without the head is useless. Now, the head is the most important part of the body. Similarly, the part of the society that gives vision, the people in society that give the vision, are the most essential part of the society because they give its direction, purpose. Without those people, without the head, society will be seriously in trouble. The Kshatriyas organize the society. They run the society. They protect the society. They keep order in the society. But they do it by the higher guidance of the Brahmins. They accept taxes, they accept wealth, they accept power under the direction of these beggars, the Brahmins. And the Kshatriyas also are not employed by anyone. They're in charge of their own kingdom or their own domain, whatever it is. Under them, the Vaishyas, the business community that sees to the prosperity of the society. Krishigo Rakshavani Jan. Agriculture, which is the real basis of economic prosperity. Protection of the cows, who provide the most essential food. And then business, trade. This is the work of the Vaishyas. They can start a business, they can farm, they can organize that part. As the Kshatriyas protect the human beings, the Vaishyas protect the animals, and they draw forth prosperity from the earth. So the Vaishyas are also essential. Your head is important, but you need food. And finally, the Shudras provide labor. And so the whole society stands on the legs, the Shudras. We may consider the head the most important part, but it doesn't mean that we don't care about our legs. If your leg has a problem, you'll go to Bhaktivedanta Hospital and you'll say, doctor, this. They'll say, well, it'll cost you this much. You'll say, it doesn't matter, however much it costs. We can't fix it here. We're sending you there. They're more expensive, but they'll do the job. And whatever it takes. Because the legs are also valuable. The legs, the stomach, the arms, the head. These are your four sections of human society, and Krishna says they're all valuable. They're all essential. But of the four, the head is the most important. So Krishna is particularly concerned with the head, with those who are dedicated to knowledge, cultivating knowledge, distributing knowledge, guiding the society, keeping the whole society on track toward spiritual realization and God consciousness. They're especially dear to Krishna. Just as the cow is especially dear to Krishna. Go Brahmanitai. Why is the cow so dear? Why not the dog? Why not the giraffe? Why not the donkey? They're all dear to Krishna. Aham bija pradapita. I'm the seed-giving father for all the living beings in all the species of life, sarva yonisha. But the cow is the most important animal. For milk, for attraction, for religious activities, the cow is most important. And among human beings, the Brahmins. So they're especially dear to Krishna. The materialistic caste system is not created by Krishna. The system, Daivi Varnashram, of four orders according to qualification and work, that's Krishna's system. And the system of caste by birth and caste for exploitation is the business of the misdirected human beings, and especially the demons. The Brahmin claims to be a Brahmin by birth without the qualification. There's a Sanskrit word for him, Brahmabandhu, friend of a Brahmin. Brahmabandhu. It's a derogatory term, really. Just like if somebody says, oh, he's a great scholar, I say, well, he's a friend of scholars. It means his scholarship is nothing, but he hangs out with scholars, so if you like, you can call him a scholar. But he's never published anything. He doesn't have a degree. He's no doctorate. He's a friend of a scholar. Polite way of saying he's rubbish. So Brahmabandhu, he claims to be a Brahmin, but it's only by birth, not by qualification. And he's very proud that I'm Brahmin, Shukla, yes. But what is that? Prabhupada said, it's on the basis of the body. Brahmajanati iti Brahman. One who knows spirit, he's Brahman. One who knows Brahma. But this guy is thinking that I'm this body. He doesn't understand his own spiritual nature or the spiritual nature of other living beings. He's only thinking, yes, I'm a Brahmin because I'm Sharma, Shukla, whatever. Prabhupada called this skin disease. Because I've got Brahmin skin, I think that I'm a Brahmin. Prabhupada said, you're not a Brahmin, you're a cobbler. Why a cobbler? Because the cobbler is the guy who makes shoes, right? And what does he make them from? He makes them from leather. What is leather? It's skin. So he's in the skin trade. His business is the skin. And the so-called Brahmin is not any better because that's his business. See, Brahmin skin. I'm born in a Brahmin family. There are two words, muchi and shuchi. Shuchi means Brahman, pure. And muchi means cobbler. And also impure, because after all, a guy who's working all the time skinning animals, and it's not the most lovely profession. So Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur says that the shuchi becomes a, or the muchi, the cobbler, becomes a shuchi, yadi Krishna bhaje, if he engages in devotional service to Krishna. And the shuchi becomes muchi, yadi Krishna tyaje, if he gives up the service of Krishna. So this is the position of the present day Brahmins. They give up devotional service to Krishna. They're claiming to be shuchi, but they're muchi. 10th class men. They're claiming to be Brahmins. And what are they doing? Teaching how to serve Krishna? Teaching the importance of spiritual realization? Worshipping the deity? No, they're writing computer code for some international, multinational corporation. And they get a big paycheck. And then they spend it on the nightclubs in Bangalore. And Bill Gates is very happy because he's hired a Brahmin. Duskritana Mudha. This is the you can say there's some remnant of Brahminical qualification there because he's got intelligence. When they interview you at Microsoft, they're really... They have all these ways to figure out how smart you are at problem solving, how intelligent you are. So he's got really good intelligence. He scored like anything, and he, you know, top 5% of his class at IIT. But he doesn't know who he is, doesn't know the purpose of life, doesn't know how to control his senses, doesn't know how to control his mind, doesn't know Krishna, doesn't know his relationship with Krishna, then what kind of Brahmin is he? Woof, 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 woof. He's an employee, that's all. That's very clever. He can fetch the newspaper in record time. Not only that, he can write code to fetch the newspaper in record time. Well, that's not the kind of Brahmin that Krishna is talking about here. Krishna doesn't, the Bhagavatam doesn't mean to indicate that these people who are misusing their human intelligence, neglecting their spiritual duties, ignorant of scripture, ignorant of Krishna consciousness, they're very dear to him because they're Brahmins. No. Sudama Vipra is very dear to Krishna. That kind of Brahmin. After all, Ravana was a Brahmin too. Ram didn't say, well, you stole my wife and you're demon number one, but you're a Brahmin. Rather. You're not a Brahmin, you're rubbish. And Lord Ram was so kind to him that he killed him. That kind of kindness. that Krishna is not indiscriminate, nor is he fooled that somebody is a Trivedi, so he's a Brahmin, and he doesn't even know Ekvedi, but got the name. And so Krishna's not fooled. Trivedi, Chaturvedi. He's Nirvedi. And Krishna knows it. He has no knowledge, he has no devotion, he has no qualification, except janma. And every dog has janma. Every creature has janma. And yes, your janma is also value. You took birth in a Brahmin family. It's not nothing, it's something. It's like you took birth in, a wealthy family. Krishna says, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Vijayate. It's a privilege to take birth in a wealthy family or intellectual family, Brahmin family. But if we misuse the opportunity, then we're the same rubbish as everybody else, or worse. A person who takes birth in a low family and acts like a low person is acting according to expectation. A person who takes birth in a high position and acts like that is disgraceful. He's a disgrace to his family. Suppose you find that the third son of Mr. Ambani has taken up the occupation of street sweeper. It's a disgrace to the whole family. I mean, you can't even think of it. If the street sweeper's son takes up that occupation, you say, well, yeah. So one may get the privilege of birth in a high family of a professor, the family of a priest, the family of a king. But birth doesn't do it on its own. You have to develop then the qualifications. If you're born in a Brahmin family and then you develop the Brahminical qualities, wonderful. And it's an opportunity to do that because your father is a Brahmin, he's acting like a Brahmin. But if your father isn't even acting like a Brahmin, then how are you going to act like a Brahmin? Prabhupada gave the example, the high court judge, it's an opportunity. His son can become very good lawyer. After all, they sit at dinner, and then he talks about the cases of the day and what the prosecution said and what the defendant said and how he decided the case and why, what arguments. So the son can become a very good lawyer, very sharp. It's like an early opportunity. He doesn't have to go for classes. He just sits for dinner and he learns law. But he's not automatic. He can't appear before the court and say, they say, well, who are you? He says, well, I'm the son of such and such. High court judge, yeah, and before which bar did you qualify? Where is your certificate? No, I'm the son of such and such. No, you have to qualify. You can't ride on your father's qualifications. What to speak of your grandfather's or your great-grandfather's? Guna karma vipakasha. Narad Muni told Yudhisthira Maharaj that if you see a person born in a Brahmin family with the qualifications of a Shudra, he's a Shudra. And you see the person with the Shudra qualification born in a Brahmin family, he's a Brahmin. Even Duryodhana recognized that. Karna was insulted. He's not a Kshatriya. He's not a Kshatriya. He's the son of a driver, charioteer. Only Kshatriyas can compete. Duryodhana said, no, anybody who can fight like this, anybody who's got this kind of courage, anyone who's... He's a Kshatriya. My friend Badri Narayan Maharaj used to quote his father as saying that even a stopped clock is right twice a day. So even Duryodhana got it right. But yes, he's qualified. And we have to judge by the qualifications, not just by birth. And then Prabhupada further tells us that actually Brahman means Vaishnava. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate. Brahma means the absolute truth. And finally, the absolute truth is Krishna. And therefore, the perfect Brahman is the Brahman like Sudama Brahman. He's dear to Krishna. Udara sarva evaite gani tvatmaiva me mitam astita hi sahiyuktatma. Mame banu tamangatam? No, that's not right. Seventh chapter. Krishna is talking about the Gyani, the man of knowledge, which means Brahman. Jnana vijnanam astikyam. Priyohi gyanino tyartam maham sacha mama priyaha udara sarva evaite gyani tvatmaiva me matam astita sahiyuktatma mame manatamangatam. Yes. All the people who come to me or who approach me, maybe with some motive, still they're great souls. But the person who's coming for knowledge, he's special. Vishishyate, ekabhaktir vishishyate. He's basically a devotee. Priyohi gyanino tyartam. I'm dear to him, so he's dear to me. He's looking for me. The actual gyani is looking for Krishna. So Krishna says, I'm dear to him, so he's dear to me. Gyani tvatmaiva me matam. I consider him to be just like my own self. He's that dear to me. And mam evanutumam gatim. Finally he comes to me. So Brahman means ultimately Vaishnava. One time Srila Prabhupada was in, this was like practically the only time he was in hospital in New York after he had his heart attack. And the nurse asked him, because Indians at that time were very rarely found in America, hardly any. So she had an Indian patient. She asked him, do you belong to that highest class in India? What is that called? The Prabhupada said, Krishna conscious. So this Hare Krishna movement is giving everyone the opportunity to become Krishna conscious and become very dear to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Some question? Microphone?
Thank you for your nice lecture. Just one question was there that we know the qualities of Brahman to be tolerant, forgiving, humble, control of mind. But there are so many stories of they losing temper and cursing at the slightest provocation. Almost probably all the Brahmanas must have cursed. So it appears that it is a rule and not exception. So what is the reason?
Yes, even Narad Muni curses. But when a Brahman curses, it's beneficial. That Narad Muni, one time he was walking and the sons of Kuvera, who's he's the treasurer of the demigods, his sons were bathing naked in the lake with some young girls. And they were drunk also. They were so drunk that they didn't know up from down, right from left. So Narad Muni was passing by. The women at least saw, well, here's a great sage. We'd better throw something on us. But the sons of Kuvera were so bombed, they were so drunk, they didn't even care. They didn't even know, you know, what's what. So Narad Muni cursed them that you're the sons of such a respectable demigod and you're living like this? Naked bodies in front of a sage? So he cursed them to become trees. It'll be good for you. Why should you waste your life this way and become degraded? You become trees. And you can be naked, it's okay. You can stand with your arms in the air for as long as you like. But they were a little shocked, so they begged for mercy, and Narad Muni said, yes, you can become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And you'll be liberated by Krishna. When the Brahmin curses someone, that's good for him. That's good for him.
Usually, it used to come as a clause. Once you ask for forgiveness, then they'll give you some benediction. Okay, I adjust. But the reason for being short-tempered, I was...
Even if he didn't ask for forgiveness, okay, you'll live as trees. Even that's good for you. Just like the doctor sometimes says, fast. It doesn't mean that the doctor is cursing you. That's what you need to come back to your healthy position. Is that okay? Mataji is there.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the beautiful lecture. When I came to Krishna consciousness, I used to read Prabhupada's books and listen to the lectures. What I gathered, that the bottom line of all these things are love of Krishna. So I was very much enamored, and then I read about bhakti, how Krishna is so much slave to the bhaktas. In 11th canto he says, I trail behind the devotees to take the dust from their lotus feet and all that. So I thought, my is so beautiful to become a bhakta. Then we were reading Krishna Leela, Damodar Leela and all that. So it was so, so beautiful. But on the other hand, bhakti, according to what I understood, bottom line is love of Krishna. So on the other hand, we read, oh Krishna, when we read in Bhagavatam, creation of the universes, his greatness, so great that a small mind can't even comprehend. And then Vaishnava Prad and this and that, you get so frightened. Then how can we love Krishna when we are holding him in awe and greatness?
At first we think that, you know, Krishna's bhakti is so nice, all love, and he attracts our love. And then once we read the books, we see all this stuff about creation and all this technical stuff. And what to speak of that, there's all this killing and blood flowing all over the place. So then what happens to the bhakti? Bhakti means that there's two people. There's us, the devotee, and there's Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is who he is. Even in the Bible he says, I am who I am. He is who he is. He's all of these things. He dances with the gopis. He plays with the cowherd boys. He acts as the child of Nanda Yashoda. And he kills demons wholesale. He fights, he leaves the fighting at Kurukshetra. Goads Arjuna into fighting at Kurukshetra. That's also part of Krishna. He creates this entire cosmic manifestation. That's also Krishna's business. So we're meant to understand Krishna. The perfect spontaneous devotees aren't interested. Krishna's showing Yashoda Mayi in his mouth that hears everything. Shut your mouth. Just don't eat earth again. She doesn't care that Krishna is God, not interested. If there's some, Krishna kills some demon, Trinavarta, and then he falls to the earth and he's okay, then she thinks, oh God, have saved my child. There's just spontaneous love. There's not even knowledge that Krishna is God, and they don't care. But we're not on that platform. We may aspire to be on that platform. We may appreciate that platform. But we're still in this material world. Still with our attachments. Still with our misconceptions. Still wanting to be the center of enjoyment rather than accept Krishna as the center of enjoyment. And therefore for us it's necessary to understand who we are, who Krishna is, what relationship this world has with Krishna, how Krishna's sarva-loka-maheshram, to understand the science of Krishna. Then if we still love Krishna, that's bhakti. The demons or the atheists, if Krishna is responsible, if this is in the world and God is responsible, then I reject God. If so many people could be killed, if these little babies can suffer, if this, then I reject God. Because of their poor fund of knowledge. They don't know why people are born in this circumstance or that. They don't understand what Krishna's plan is for the upliftment of the living beings. They have their own idea. It should be like this. It should be like that. And then when things aren't according to their expectation, then there's no God. Prabhupada gave the example that during the war, not only the Germans, but the ladies in Germany, the wives and daughters, mothers went to church. Please let our son or our husband or our father come home. And then if he didn't come home, then so many of them became atheists. Because God didn't fulfill their requisition. God is supposed to, that's what's supposed to be. I put in my requisition and God supplies. And if he doesn't supply, then there's no God. It's very clear. I prayed you didn't deliver, I reject you. In the way we reject a supplier who doesn't supply the goods, that or doesn't supply them to our specification. Say, well, you know, I'm not doing business with you anymore. But we think that God is something like that, that he's our order supplier, or that he has to act according to our expectation. It doesn't work that way. So we're meant to understand something about Krishna. Actually, to fully understand Krishna is beyond all of us. But something. Something. Then we'll appreciate. Naturally, one is attracted that Krishna is so cute. He's stealing butter. He's running away from his mother, and then he's being tied up, and it's all very attractive. He's playing his flute, and young girls are coming running, and then he's dancing with them in the forest. It's all very attractive. Anyone will be attracted. But if we want to appreciate what's going on there, we have to understand who Krishna is. He's not just another teenager dancing with girls in the forest. He's not just another little village kid playing with the monkeys and stealing stuff from other people's homes. The origin of the entire cosmic manifestation is dancing with the gopis. That person, the expansion of whose expansion is breathing out all the universes, is playing in the home of Nanda Yashoda. That appreciation we're meant to have. Is that all right? Thank you. Some other question?
Hare Krishna.
The microphone will come to you.
Krishna Maharaj, thank you very, very much for this wonderful class. I think before you go to Africa, so many things you have cleared up with the Varnashram, with the marriage system, with the Brahman, these things. I just wanted to ask you one thing, that we have been having a program at our place from the last 3.5-4 years. And even earlier when we used to preach, it is seen especially in India, a lot of these people whom you named, like Trivedis and, you know, Nayars and Devarajans and Iyengars and Iyers, who are considered really pious, they have a lot of knowledge. Even if you see, they'll put a white little dot here. They'll have a very nice aroma around their house, very serene, very, very pious. But they are the ones who will never come for the program. They are the ones who will never appreciate Hare Krishna. They will say like, oh, you do your Hare Krishna. It's like a small, yeah, very nice. You do that. But they are the ones who will never get attracted. I mean, very rarely that we see them. My question is that we heard, are they the ones who were demons earlier, as we heard, and they are cursed to be in Brahmana families in Kali Yuga? Or is it, why is it that they are not attracted to the chanting and to the process of, you know, Shravanam and Kirtanam?
Of course, each case is different, so I can't say. I don't, you know, someone may not be coming just because he's far away, or because he's caring for his elderly father, or because there's some other good reason. But if they're staying away because they have an aversion, really, like Krishna phobia, then that's their misfortune. That they born in a Brahmin family, and maybe even still observing some of the very nice traditions, but they're missing the essential point. Even the Brahmanas, and they were considered, you know, Brahmanas. In Vrindavan, Krishna was playing with his friends and they were hungry. Krishna said, well, yeah, there's some Brahmins performing some yajnas over here. not too far away, and you can go beg charity from them. It's just that they're doing some sort of yajna, and it's just the time in the yajna where they can give some charity. So go and ask them for something. But better ask in Balaram's name, not mine, because these are a certain kind of Brahmins, and they'll think, well, Krishna's just a Vaishya. But Balaram's known as a Kshatriya. It's better use his name. So the boys went there, and they said, oh, earthly gods, we've come to beg charity from you, and we know that it's this particular time in the sacrifice you've done this, but you haven't yet done that, and therefore you can give charity. And Krishna and Balaram are nearby, and they're hungry. And the Brahmin said, oh, coward boys, can't you see we're doing a sacrifice here? We've got important things to do. As we say in New York, get lost. Dismiss them. And the boys came back to Krishna Balaram disappointed that we went and asked, but they didn't give. Krishna said, well, that's what begging's like. Sometimes people say yes, sometimes they say no. But try again, try their wives this time. The wives are my devotees. So they went to the wives, that Krishna and Balaram are nearby and they're hungry. Krishna and Balaram! Whew. Immediately, everything. And not that we give it to you and you take it, we're delivering. Personally, husbands, where are you going? Forget it. We've got work to do. And later, when the Brahmins realized that they'd refused the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but their wives had offered everything, then they realized they were fools. The hell with our being Brahmins. The hell with our having gone to the Gurukul. The hell with our initiations and sacrifices. It's all useless. Because we've neglected the ultimate purpose of everything, the personality of Godhead. So that tendency is there to be proud that we're Brahmins and to be preoccupied with one's rituals and ceremonies. Or in the present age, to be preoccupied with simply other things. But it's useless if one isn't Krishna conscious.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is that, you know, any birth any soul takes by the arrangement of the or by the nature's law, it is not whimsical. Like Krishna says that those devotees who could not complete the the devotional service, or those who are yogis who could not complete the perfection, they get a birth in particular family so that they get the environment to perfect themselves. So likewise, any birth by any soul in any families, like it could be a Brahmanical family or the Kshatriya family or the Shudra family, it is as per the karma and as per the quality of that particular soul, wherein he takes a birth and he gets the environment and facilities to, you know, as per his quality. So when somebody takes a birth in a Brahminical family, isn't it, you know, by the law of the nature?
Yeah, it's by the laws of nature that he's deserved to take birth in a Brahminical family. Question one, what kind of Brahminical family is it? Previously, to take birth in a Brahminical family meant you were practically there. You were practically there because the reformatory ceremonies would be observed, the intention to beget a pure-minded child would be there, the parents would follow all the traditions for spiritual purification in their life. There'd be daily worship of Lord Vishnu as the center of everything. The father would be doing puja, the wife would be assisting. There'd be all Brahminical activities. And you're the kid, you know, you follow right along. I was in Vrindavan one time. I needed to buy some flowers, and I just noticed that outside in the early morning, the flower sellers set up and they put up their little wicker stands with their baskets and their flowers, and they splash a little water on the flowers so that they don't wilt and all of that. And there's this little kid, and he's doing the same thing because he's the son of a flower seller. So automatically he gets the training how to do all that stuff. Another time in Vrindavan, I went to buy a spoon. So I went to the Vartanwala. And the Vartanwala is sitting in the back of the little shop. And the son is sitting in the front. You know, he's like 8 years old or something. And, you know, his father's like coaching him how to sell me the spoon and collect the money and all of that. So because he's born in the family, practically it's second nature. And it used to be like that with the Brahminical families. Taking birth in a Brahminical family meant you were most of the way there, as long as you didn't do the Ravana thing or in some other way misuse your opportunity, you could become a Brahmin just like that. Now what kind of Brahminical family is it? You know, they're highly educated. They've got a very good, strong degree. And they fly business class to important conferences in America and eat beef and drink wine on the way. So what exact advantages am I getting by taking birth in that kind of family? Well, maybe it's an advantage for me that I can also grow up to be a computer programmer or a professor, and I can also fly business class and drink wine and eat beef on the way. So that's the first thing. What kind of Brahminical families are people born into in Kali Yuga? And the next thing is, even if it is a family that has very good traditions, where practically speaking they're following, do I follow? It's not a shoe-in, as they say, that just because I'm born in a Brahmin family, I'm automatically a Brahmin. I have every chance to become a Brahmin. I have, as they say, a leg up, or, you know, a head start for becoming a Brahmin. But I can turn my back on it all and become something else. And then it's useless. Or worse than useless, it's misused. I'm supposed to be doing something for the upliftment of human society, and instead I'm writing computer code for the Defense Department so that they can bomb the hell out of people. So these considerations. But otherwise, it is an advantage. Therefore, Krishna says, Srimatam, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe, Yoga Prashta. The fallen yogis take birth in that kind of family. And it is an opportunity, but the families have to maintain the tradition, first of all. And then we have to follow.
Mother.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I was actually hesitating to ask this question, but I'm going to ask now. Because of the messy situation in India about Varnashram. So we have the Ravi Varnashram, where people are born into particular Varnas and Ashram, or they are classified according to their qualities and work. And the Asuri Varnashram, where people are accepted as Brahman, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra according to birth. But the centuries of, you know, this kind of system, Asuri Varnashram, has created an imprint in the minds of Indians that we don't find in the scriptures actually, that no one wants to identify themselves with a Shudra or a Vaishya. At the max, it is Brahman and Kshatriya. So, even within ISKCON, it can happen. Now, the solution can be like Lord Buddha, he just completely rejected the Vedas, which was corrupt at that time, or it was being misutilized. Something like that, scrap the system completely, and then start our Dairi Varnashram. So, probably Prabhupada meant that, Prabhupada wanted to do that. Did he suggest any particular step-by-step solution to this kind of situation? Because we read in scriptures, Dwarka, that the Shudras were given their respectful position. So they felt respected. Today, because they are so disrespected, they look down so much, that no one wants to identify, even though we can see that, okay, he is following a Shudra qualification. But no one wants to identify with that, because it is looked down upon. The prostitutes were given that kind of respectable position in Dwarka. Now today again that is. So, how it can be done from your angle or what Prabhupada suggested?
We can see the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First of all, that Varnashram is meant to support Krishna consciousness. It's not our ultimate objective just to re-establish Varnashram, but it's meant for promoting Krishna consciousness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the example that he accepted, essentially, the existing social system, but then he defied it also. He designated Haridas Thakur as Namacharya. Who is Haridas Thakur? Shudra? No. Muslim. Yavanas. Meat-eating background. And he made him Namacharya. Rup Sanatan were thrown out of the Brahminical society. They were high-class Saraswat Brahmins, but they were rejected because they'd taken paid positions in the government of, again, Muslim government, Hussein Shah. So the Brahmins ostracized them. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made them Goswamis, like his chief lieutenants for Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is dynamically establishing the principle that anyone can become a Brahmin. And even from any part of the, look, what am I doing sitting here? You know, American, that's like three notches down from Sudra. And the people who are just creating mischief all over the world. But somehow or other, Prabhupada's giving us this work that you follow Krishna consciousness, you speak on Krishna consciousness, you teach, you do all of these things. Americans, Chinese, Africans, anyone. Establishing the principle. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, oh, they hated him. He was the enemy of the Brahmins. Oh, really? There was like plans to assassinate him. Because he was standing on this principle that the Brahmin is the person who's engaged in the service of Krishna and following the principles of Brahminical life, not just the person who's born as a Brahmin. So the more we spread the Krishna consciousness movement, this teaching of Krishna consciousness, and people, the more people will come to the right understanding. Pandita Samadarshana, to see all living beings with the equal vision. Amanina Amanadena, to give respect to everyone, regardless of social position. To appreciate everyone who's a devotee, regardless of social standing. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is revolutionary because he's establishing real equality on the spiritual platform. These other guys, they're either trying to bring to make this flat earth kind of thing, everybody's equal materially, which is rubbish. Everybody can become everything. Or they just want to flatten it out. Nobody's entitled to anything. In the communist thing, no power to nobody. And this false sense of comradeship where everybody's just the same. It doesn't work. They tried to establish a classless society and it wound up full of classes. There were still people who were teaching and there were still people driving trucks and cleaning the street. Didn't work. You can try to make everybody equal materially. Men are equal to women. Women are equal to men. We're all the same. And it's not so. Because materially, everyone has different qualifications. You can't make the truck driver into a professor just by some sort of rubber stamp. Somebody's going to be teaching in the university and somebody's going to be sweeping the hallways of the university. But where there's Krishna consciousness, this spiritual understanding, which is what underlies Daivi Varnashram, and which is the goal of Daivi Varnashram, comes to the forefront. Otherwise, Varnashram without Krishna consciousness will just be an empty shell at best, or an institution for exploitation at the worst. The vicious institution that its enemies, with considerable justification, consider it to be. We're not just in favor of reestablishing the old way. That bring back, not bring back caste, because caste is still very much in the fabric of Indian society, but, what's the word? Validate caste, let it be right out there and in front that we're totally in favor of caste. We're not in favor of that kind of caste by birth, but by qualification and for the service of Krishna. Now, step by step, how that will happen, we'll have to see. But the active principle of it is that there has to be Krishna consciousness at the core. Way in the back, there's a question. And, there's a couple of questions there. I don't want to... Let's see. Maybe I should take one more question because time is timing out. One last question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Wait a second. This is like in Krishna's pastimes, the unembodied voice from the sky. Yeah, there you are.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the excellent class, Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that the Varnashram Dharma, I'm creating the Varnashram Dharma for the purpose of self-realization. And Lord Chaitanya says that I'm not a Kshatriya. So, can you please explain this, Maharaj?
Yes. And while we're talking about that, he made Ramananda Roy practically the most exalted member of his company, and he was like a Kayasta, kind of down class. We're in favor of the Varnashram system in terms of the social organization of society. But we're not in favor of seeing the structure as being ultimate, that people are, their bodily designations is what they are. Sarvabhadi vinirmuktam tat pratena nirmala. I'm in this position. Even people are trying to get rid of bodily designations. I'm not a woman. I'm something indeterminate, maybe. So we want to be free from all bodily designations, not that way. I'm not an American. Well, get off it. You came from New Jersey. Your parents were American. You're walking around with an American passport. What do you mean you're not an American? And I'm also not going to say, well, okay, here, take the passport. I don't need it. It does things for me. But I'm not an American because I'm not this body. At the time of death, Yamaraj isn't going to look at my passport. I hope he doesn't look at my passport. this life I have an American body, another life I have another body, cat, dog, tree body. So every one of us should say, I'm not Brahmin, I'm not Kshatriya, I'm not Vaishya, I'm not Shudra. I'm not Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. Not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, I'm not a sannyasi, so I can mix with women and do all the things that grahasthas can do. No, he lived strictly as a sannyasi. But then he said, I'm not a sannyasi. Then what are you? Gopi Bharata Padakamalayo, Dasa Dasa, Anudasa. That's my real designation, my real identity is that I'm servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Externally, the body is whatever it is. And it's not that we pretend that it's not there. It's there. But it's not what I am. Our real identity is servant of the servant of Krishna. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, there are a few announcements. Today's breakfast prasad is sponsored by His Grace Srinath Ji Prabhu.